Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. The scripture says, "For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil." Lord, I pray that everyone that will hear my voice today, or even in the future, that we hear this recording, that we watch this video, that we follow this live stream, everyone that is here, and everyone that will join us, that your word and your power will destroy all the works of the devil in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord confirming his word with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we ask that you confirm your word in our midst today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. I want to apologize for our online audience for the delay in the live streaming. It was because of, unforeseen circumstances. We've been doing audio streaming. I was following the audio streaming while I was in the car. And it was okay. We pray as we move on, we'll keep improving every day. We are welcome to God's presence in Jesus' name. Today we have a lot of work to do, and we have so little time. God will help us. We are actually looking at the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. That's our topic. The blood of Jesus. I was praying. Remy, by the time we were praying yesterday, I was still waiting on the Lord concerning the topic for today. And while you were leading the prayer, because we were praying for this meeting yesterday, and while you were leading the prayer, I was like, "Lord." And then the Lord said, "Just listen." And then Broyemi says, "Ah." Broyemi just says, "In the blood." Meanwhile, the Lord had put it in my heart that it was in my heart that the blood of Jesus was a topic to consider. Because I touched on that briefly last week during the live streaming session of Word Encounter. And so, all of a sudden, Broyemi just kept saying, "The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus." I was like, I say, "No, what other confirmation do I need?" After that, again, I started listening to a sermon, you know, randomly, as it were. And the man of God was talking about the blood of Jesus. I say, okay, Lord. Now, there's a reason why I don't like teaching on things like the blood of Jesus. Personally, but you notice that recently, it looks as if it has become my interest, teaching on things like the blood of Jesus, the temple in heaven, and things like that. Now, the reason why I don't like teaching on such things is because they are not elementary stuff. They are, you know, this fan now, all you need to know about this fan, if you are not an engineer, is that you throw the switch and it comes on. You don't have to start knowing how the positive and the negative electricity, you know, got to the fan, and how the fan coil, you know, converted electric energy to kinetic energy. You don't need all of that information. Spiritual things are also like that. For things like the blood of Jesus, one of the things that you just need to do is to have faith in the blood of Jesus. But as you go deeper, but you agree with me that as you grow deeper, as you go more advanced in knowledge, you will need that information. Because there may be a time you will come and you throw the switch and the fan won't come on. And there's light. But you know exactly what the problem is and you know how to diagnose it. The reason is because you have advanced knowledge. But a person that doesn't have advanced knowledge will just be confused. And that's how it is with everything in life. There are the basic things. So when you look at the book of Hebrews, for example, you see that by the time the writer of Hebrews got to Hebrews chapter 6, he said, "Let us leave the fundamental or the elementary teachings and move on to perfection." He said, "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God and baptisms and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment." Those doctrines, we can dwell on those doctrines And it's by the time people understand those doctrines very well, and I can assure you, many Christians I have dealt with, at least in Nigeria, don't understand those doctrines. They don't even understand half. Many don't understand 45% of those things. And that's why there are some things in the gospel that we just believe. We don't understand why we should believe them. For example, many Christians, love your enemies does not make sense. But there are some things you understand as you walk with God, that love your enemies will make, in fact, hating your enemies will look like foolishness. You discover that the instructions of God are wise. When God says love your enemy, if you understand the doctrine of eternal judgment, and how you judging your enemy, because you have the ability, one of the things that happens to you as you grow in God and as you begin to occupy your place of authority, your thrones, you have the ability to judge. God will not tell you not to judge if you don't have the ability to judge. And judging does not mean, you see, most times when people read Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ was teaching many things. Judging does not mean saying that a person is a liar or a person is a thief. Judging means, you know, if somebody commits a crime and they take the person to court and the judge judges, what does the judge say? Does the judge say, you know, part of judging is saying that, yes, this person truly committed this felony. But does he end there? He will say he's sentenced to life imprisonment. He's sentenced to 2 years in prison. He's sentenced to 2 months community service. That's how judging works. And when Jesus Christ said, judge not, he's not talking just supreme. He said, it's the measure with which you judge others that you also be judged. He's talking about the sentencing part of judgment, not just the identifying the sin. The word of God already identifies what is wrong. If you see someone lying, you know he's lying. If you say a person is lying, you are not judging the person. Amen. But when somebody lied to you or somebody stole your phone, and you say, you stole my phone, you will know that you've stolen the phone of a man of God. You devoted 3 night vigils to that person's matter. 3 night vigils. And you decree some bitter curses. Let me tell you something. If you have some ranking in the realm of the spirit, those curses will stand. Oh, you don't know. They will stand. It will take... It will take the mercy of God, and it will take, and that mercy we have to manifest through somebody that probably has a higher ranking in the realm of the spirit to intervene in that matter. I need us to understand, amen. Spiritual things are not exactly like physical things. And spiritual understanding is part of the package of the gospel. It's a being filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's why Jesus says, judge not. If you understand eternal judgment, you will discover that judging people now is a waste of time. And it's a waste of spiritual resources. And it is a disruption in God's agenda. There are times that you judge people. You say, don't judge. He says, do not repay evil. Don't judge before the time. There is a time for God's judgment. Leave judgment to God. It's God that has the ability and the wisdom. Because somebody offended you and God wanted to save the person. And if you had not judged the person, Two months from the day the person stole your phone, the person would have received the gospel. 2 years from the day the person stole your phone, the person would be a preacher of the gospel like you. And so, God, and that's why Jesus Christ said, don't judge. But you say, no. He first stole my laptop. Then he now came to steal my phone. He will know that I'm a man of God. And then you now judge him. And because of what you did, that person was climbing bike and was drunk. I was going from Ojuore to Sango. I had accident and died. Now, here's the thing. 2 years from now, that person would have been born again and preaching the gospel. There are 2,000 people that God has apportioned that this person is the one that will bring to the gospel, to the knowledge of God. Are you understanding? 2,000 people. But because you judge the matter, 2,000 people are hanging in the balance. God will now have to go and start raising another person, creating circumstances. You see, life looks random, but there is nothing random about life. You say, it's because I went to University of Agriculture that I met this person. Anyway, that's now our topic. Amen. So the point I'm making is that there are some things believers need to, when you understand those things, then we can start talking about these advanced things, like the way electricity enters the fan, like the way the blood of Jesus actually works for us. Because if you don't understand the way the blood of Jesus works for us, you may not know why sometimes it works for some people and in some situations it works, and in some situations it does not work. I think there was one time you were with us. There was a time we did deliverance together for one brother in Ghana over the phone. Do you remember the way that guy was? You know, we were praying for him here, and we were hearing the demonstration of the power of God on the other side of the phone. One of the ways that we made the deliverance easy was to apply the principle of the blood of Jesus. Remember, there were some confessions that he said, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. And he said those confessions, said them over and over and over again. This is not something that has happened. It's something I have seen happen. If I won't happen two or three Saturdays ago, in our Bible study, somebody joined and she brought a prayer request. It was clear that it was the one that was involved. We did deliverance there and there. She was screaming on the phone. It was the same principle. When you understand principles, you look as if you are powerful. It's just understanding. There is place of power, amen. But really, Jesus is just like somebody who understands how to manipulate electricity. You know, he will be a very powerful person compared to a person that does not know how to manipulate. Imagine when you are you know how powerful your mechanic will be when your car spoils. The mechanic says it's not going to come. Let's say your car spoils in the middle of the road, and I say, please, 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 come. And the mechanic says it's not going to come. And all the mechanics say they are not going to come. You know, you are. That's when you know that mechanics are powerful. Why? It's not because they are stronger than you. It's not because they are more intelligent. You may even be much more intelligent than them. You may be more qualified than them. But there is something that they understand that you don't understand. And that's why they say knowledge is power. So we're going to look at the blood of Jesus. There are some things we need to understand about the blood of Jesus, so that we can rightly appropriate the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. We'll read from verse 7. Revelation chapter 12 from verse 7. So I don't know why the Lord has been leading us to do a lot of complex, advanced stuff in this class. I'm not the owner of the class. I would have wanted us to explain a lot of very exciting things. Explain faith. Explain grace. But the topic the Lord will have for us now is the blood. The blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. If you are there, you can read for us.
Then there was war in heaven.
Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels.
And the dragon lost the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his angels,
the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven.
This great dragon.
Wait, come and take the microphone.
Verse 9. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters." Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb.
And they have defeated him how?
By the blood of the Lamb. Yes. And by their testimony.
And by their testimony.
And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die.
Do you see there? He said, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, the reason why I said you should read that verse that talks about, it says, and he heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. You see, that translation you are using is a very good translation. It was actually translated from an older manuscript. And older manuscripts are actually supposed to be more accurate. There's a reason why we love King James Version. And my love for King James Version will never die. But the truth is that there are some, when you are studying the Bible, when you want to understand some hidden truths, it's good to use more than one translation. I didn't say paraphrase, so there's no reason paraphrase Bible and translation. Message Bible is not a translation. Passion Bible is not a translation. Good News Bible is not a translation. There's Good News translation now, but there's Good News Bible. There's Message Bible. Passion is not a translation. It's a paraphrase. But translation is actually taking, paraphrase is, can be taken from King James, and then somebody is explaining it with the way they understand it, so that it will be easy for people to understand. But translation is, there are principles for doing translation. Translation is taken from the original manuscript. Some of them use the Septuagint for the Hebrew, for the Old Testament. Some of them even go to the original Hebrew. Translation generally are taken from the original script, and then they are translated from the original script to English language. Paraphrases, on the other hand, are taken sometimes from existing translation, usually NIV or King James, and then explained further for you to understand. Now, I like your translation. It says that a voice across the heavens. King James say a voice was heard in heaven. But this one helps us to understand in detail that the voice was actually across the heavens. Because what was going on there was that Satan was going to be cast down from the heavens. And the Bible says he was cast down to where? The earth. That is not... Now, I spent a lot of time last night meditating on this scripture. So I was spending some time that the Holy Spirit led me to use your translation. And that's why I pointed out that point. That across the heavens means a lot. You know, somebody was asking last Saturday in our Bible study that what scripture actually proves that that God is in the third heaven. Because there are few translations that actually say the heavens of the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth belongs to the sons of men. And I had to pull out some scriptures to establish. I don't even think I posted it. I went to search out scriptures to establish that position that I've always held, that actually God is in the highest heavens. In fact, it's like that in the scripture. Principalities and powers that we wrestle against, there are principalities and powers in heavenly places. They are not in God's highest heaven. So that's why it is instructive that your translation says a voice was shouting across the heavens. Because the devil was going to be dropped from even that realm, and he was going to be dropped to this realm of the earth. But that is not our primary study. Our primary study is looking at the blood of the Lamb. It says that the accuser of brethren that accused them day and night before the Lord. So first and foremost, we know that this accuser of brethren was already the devil. He was already Lucifer. He was already our enemy. He was already an enemy of God. But he was still in heaven, accusing us. He still had access to God. Do you understand? Do you remember the story of Job? How that when the sons of God gathered to meet God, the devil also, Satan also presented himself. And what was Satan doing there? He was accusing Job. Because he was saying that the reason why God blessed Job was because the reason why Job was faithful to God and Job has not cursed God was because of the blessing of God. That Job, what was the accusation? That Job does not really love God. Job is just doing tit for tat. If na you unko. I hope you know that accusation is still valid today. May we not fail that accusation. You know, there are many people, the reason why they are following God is because of what God will do for them. They don't. Hallelujah. Every kind of life that you see is a function of the breath of God. Every life you see is a function of the breath of God. Now, when we say, yeah, it's working, in him was life. Okay, let's just, so that you won't take my word for it, take the scripture for it. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 11. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 11. Leviticus 7 verse 11. I'm trying to explain to you why blood. Leviticus 7 verse 11. I'm going to read from King James. These are the kind of scriptures for which I love King James. It says, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which you shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened bread cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil." Leviticus 17 verse 11. If you are with your Bible, you can open to Leviticus 17 verse 11. Yes, are you there? Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, "For the life of flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." I hope you know, child of God, that this world and many of it and the things in this world were created for man and not man for the world. Please, I hope I know it's difficult in a humanistic world now to come to grasp with that point. You see, that's the reason why, if you know how precious animals are, if you read the book of Job, you will see that when God was about to destroy Nineveh and God was going to spare Nineveh from destruction, one of the reasons that God did not destroy Nineveh was because he said that Nineveh was a land that had a number of people and even livestock. You will see that God even cared about livestock in the land. The reason why it looks as if, and it is actually wrong to kill animals for the sake of fun. The Bible says a wicked man is even cruel to his animals. I don't know if you've seen that in the scripture. It's a product of wickedness. The reason why we are permitted to kill animals for food is because of how precious our lives are. The reason is because they were created for us. I don't have time to begin to explain to you how that God knew that man was going to fall. Do you believe that God is omniscient? The Bible says that even the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. God, if you think God knew that man was going to fall. And one of the reasons, and God says he has given, so let me read that Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 again. He says, "For the life of flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." One of the functions of animals, because if those animals were not there to buy humankind time till Jesus came, humankind wouldn't have been able to survive. Because what their lives was doing was that it was buying us time. When human beings made animal sacrifice and they shed the blood of their animal, you know what sin is? Sin is, the wages of sin is death. Sin produces death. Both spiritual death and physical death and every kind of death you can imagine. So when a person in the old covenant, and sin is not just about what you do. Don't make a mistake about it. Sin is about what you are. David said, "In iniquity did my mother conceive me." We were born sinners. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says that through Adam, sin entered the world. It didn't say sin came and went. It entered. It came and stayed. Thank you. So, and we know from scripture that the wages of sin is what? Is death. Because Adam, do you remember when God was warning Adam and Eve against sin? What was the warning? He said, "The day you eat of this tree, fruit, you will what? You will surely die." Because what sin does to the soul of man is that it invokes death. And after death, the next sin is corruption. You know that if an animal dies now, you know, after a few hours, what's corrupt? It will start getting decaying. The reason why there is corruption, why everything in this world, even inanimate things, grow old naturally. That's not the way God created this world. It was called the futility of corruption. It's a product of the sin of Adam. If you know God, the way God does his things, you will know that God will not create things and things will be growing old with time. That things were growing old with time is a process of corruption that was set in motion because of the fall of man. Shall I show us that? Is it necessary? Romans chapter 8. Let's open to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll start from verse 21. Yes. Okay, yes. He said, because the creature itself will be liberated from its own bondage. That creature itself will be liberated from its own bondage to decay. What does King James call it? To corruption. I'm not talking about the moral corruption that we like complaining about. I'm talking about the process, the thing that makes things. In fact, in science, they call it, is it enthalpy or entropy? There's something they call it in science. How that the natural, if you leave things, it will be natural. Things are naturally disorderly. Things are not naturally orderly. If you leave atoms, they are not orderly. They don't. What's that law? Enthalpy. Entropy. Is entropy. I know, you know there's enthalpy. Chemistry is, there's entropy. Things don't naturally, it wasn't the way it was. It wasn't like that in the beginning. But what happened was that sin came in and then there was a bondage of corruption. Verse 21 says that, let me read it from here. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Why is creation groaning? Because of this corruption. He said, and not only they, but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. The reason, what the first fruits of the Spirit does is that it helps us to know better that this is not, the reason why we know this is because of the first fruits of the Spirit. That this is not how things are supposed to be. It's not normal for people to grow old and die eventually. It's not normal. It's an anomaly. It's not normal for people to, for sickness to be part of the human experience. It's because of sin. You don't get that. What I'm saying is that if Adam had not sinned, people would not be falling sick. You know, you see this table here. If you leave this table here now and you come back to this and nobody touches it, close the window, come back to this place in the next 2 years, this table, will it be newer or older? It will be weaker. It will be older. It is called the force of corruption. It affects everything. And just so you will know how important man is, the earth did not sin. No. Now, it's because you are not spiritual that you think that the earth, is inanimate. That is, the earth does not have ears. That you think that the earth cannot cry. That you think that the earth does not groan. That you think that the wind does not speak. Do you remember that they say Jesus Christ spoke to the wind? He rebuked the wind. The Bible says that creatures, he said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth. What does it mean to groan? Sorry, there's something that is dead. The way you see, you know, physically, you see the earth has been unable to groan and unable to express itself. Abi? But do you see in Romans chapter 8, verse 22 that the creation is what? Groaning. In the spirit realm, there are many things that you say, everything that God created, everything that came from God has a form of expression that you may not know. The Bible says, let the mountains sing for joy, let the hills clap their hands. It says, if you have faith, you will say to this mountain, be thou moved. It is not that force field will be coming out of your mouth to move the mountain. It is that the mountain now has the ability to respond to you and obey your command. Those are some of the things I know, I believe, will happen during the millennial reign of Christ. You'll be able to speak to things and they will respond. Amen. There are some mystic. Okay, I don't want to go into. I don't because of time. I don't want to go into what mystic people believe. But even people that are even go have a little spiritual understanding in the world of mysticism, they understand these things a little bit. What I am saying is that they did not commit any sin. They didn't transgress. I would have shown you in Revelation. Okay, that Revelation chapter 12 that you read, you will see that at the around verse 6 or thereabout, the Bible talks about how that there was a sign in heaven and that there was a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and with the 12 stars on her head. And that woman, well, basically was to give birth to a son, S-O-N, that will rule the earth with an iron rod. Who is that son that will rule the earth with an iron rod? The man Jesus. Because the Bible says that, and the dragon wanted to destroy that son. But the son was taken up to the throne of God. Now that's not the point I'm making. By the time the dragon realized that he was cast down to the earth, the Bible says that the dragon now tried to destroy the woman and make war with the woman. And that the woman now fled, was given wings to flee to the wilderness. And then the Bible says that the serpent released a flood out of his mouth to drown the woman. But the earth protected the woman. It absorbed the water. When David heard that Saul and Jonathan died. David, see, I hope you know that the way David was winning is, David was a very skilled man. But the back end of his skill was not sense knowledge. It was spiritual understanding and spiritual arrangement. He was causing even the natural installments in that area where Saul died. Because he knew that in warfare, if you are a spiritual man, in warfare, even the elements have a way of helping you. They can fire you an arrow and the elements will say no. The wind will blow the arrow and the arrow will not meet you. And there's a way you can command the... Are you understanding my point? You see, what happens with sons of God, for those of us who have the first fruit of the Spirit, is that we can begin to walk in some of the first fruits of these manifestations. That's the reason why we can walk in the miraculous. A car is misbehaving, you go out, put your hand on the car and say, start walking in Jesus' name. And then the car will hear. And the elements, everything in the car will just arrange. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, there's a difference between... There are many things that happen in the realm of the spirit. There are times that God will literally send angels to come and fix things. And there are times that it is the element, just like the elements responded to Jesus. Jesus Christ rebuked the wind. You know, by the time he rebuked the wind, his disciples were like, what manner of man is this? The wind was blowing and they were going to drown. And Jesus Christ woke up. Let me just give you literal expression. Kai. Somebody tells the wind, Kai, and the wind heard and stopped. That's not even the point. I was just trying to explain to you that God gave the blood of the animals. He gives the animals to us, the blood, for the atonement for our souls. So until Jesus came, you discover that people were doing all kinds of animal sacrifice. Even when the law came, it was a great portion of the law, the book of Leviticus, was explaining the kind of animal sacrifice to do. Then you also remember that there was grain offering, because grain also has life. And when you destroy it, you crush it, you burn it. The way you know that grain has life, put that grain inside the ground and come back in a few days' time, you will know it has life. Hallelujah. You know it has life. And what I'm trying to explain is that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Holy Spirit, I ask for your help. We need to, because I've not done 20% of this teaching. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The reason why blood, Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without the what? The shedding of blood, there is no remission. Amen? Now, why was there necessary for the shedding of blood in order for there to be remission of sin? It was because what sin was doing was that sin was calling death. And so what was happening when they kept doing those animal sacrifices was that they were doing temporary substitutional equation. And that's why you discover that those sacrifices had to be very, very constant. if in the temple there were daily sacrifices, there was the annual sacrifice. They will be doing annual one, or they will still be doing daily one. Do you know why? Because the life of an animal cannot atone permanently for the sin of a man. The blood of an animal. So it was just buying life. It was buying spiritual airtime. Are you understanding? Because the way you buy, there are, amen. What debt? I'm sure you know that when God told Adam that you will surely die, it was spiritual debt that God was talking about. Because God said, the day you eat it, you will die. And you see that the next thing that happened was that the first intervention that God did for Adam was to kill an animal for them and use the skin to cover them. And people said that was the first animal sacrifice for man. Who do you think taught Adam how to do animal sacrifice? By the time Cain and Abel were grown, they were already making sacrifices. I'm trying to explain to you what blood is. Now, because man died spiritually, we don't have the ability to talk. You know, if you don't have life, for example, you see this laptop now. There's a realm in which a laptop has life. It can talk. Well, let's just speak technical sense. For example, this laptop is currently talking with a number of servers. That's why we're able to do live streaming. But it doesn't have human life, does it? Can the laptop talk? If you wake up and you saw the laptop talking, you know that something that supernatural is going on. The laptop cannot talk to you because it doesn't have human life. The laptop cannot animate. It cannot interact in this world. It cannot make intercessions because it does not have human life. You see, what happened with man is that man had both the divine life and spirit. Now, this is for the sake of this study. Let me use this classification. Man had both the divine life and spiritual life.